Radio.
You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. This is your host, Tim Blank. Thank you for joining us today. We've got a great show today. My guests today are Joe Pans and Big Ant from Rescue Inc. Rescue Inc. does great work in helping animals out. It's a nonprofit organization that goes in and rescues these animals and helps the authorities solve crimes and problems that are centered around animals, and then helps people with animals and making them aware and educating them as well. So we're really excited about having them on board. So we'll have them here in just a second. We're also going to be talking about the book that they have that was released called Rescue Inc., Tough Guys on a Mission to Keep Our Animals Safe, which is a great read. And it details their efforts to curtail animal abuse. So it's a great read, and we're going to talk a little bit about the book as well. But first, I'd like to talk to you about a little bit about seizures in animals. There's a lot of reasons that animals could be suffering from seizures, and I'm definitely not a veterinarian. But I want to tell you about one little thing that we uncovered with our dog, Buzz, who was experiencing seizures very early on in his life. And it had nothing to do with his makeup as far as his internal memory or his electrodes or any of these things that, tend to trigger the seizures, but it had to do with food allergies. We had, he'd been having a series of what we call chewing gum seizures. So if you can imagine, if you've ever been up in snow country during the cold, your teeth tend to chatter when it's cold outside. Well, that's what he was experiencing. Out of the blue, he would go into these little seizures, his teeth would chatter, and we really couldn't pinpoint what the problem was. And it got so severe to one point where he would actually pass out from the seizures and go into a little episode, and we had to get him back around again. And we took him to our veterinarian, ran a series of tests, really didn't come up with anything. And then I decided, you know what, we're going to do some allergy testing. We're going to see if there's any environmental allergens or some food allergens that may be triggering Buzz's seizures. And lo and behold, you know, when these seizures were happening, he was also experiencing some vomiting and some sickness in his stomach as well. And the veterinarian wanted to put him on a very, very mild diet of boiled chicken and white rice. So we kept him on boiled chicken and white rice for a couple of days, and the seizures tend to get worse, and his episodes with his stomach was getting worse as well. So we went ahead and did these allergy tests. It's a simple test where they draw blood from the animal. They send it out for a comprehensive allergy test, which detects which environmental allergens and food allergens that your pet is definitely allergic to, what is borderline, and what they're not allergic to. And lo and behold, we got the test results back in about a week, and one of the culprits was some food allergies, and the big culprit was chicken and rice. He had a severe allergic reaction to chicken and rice, and that's what we had been feeding him, both in the processed food, because the majority of your processed foods out there are, a lot of them at least, are chicken-based and rice-based. And then, of course, when they're having some sickness in their stomach, a common diet is to get a very bland diet, which is boiled chicken and white rice. And that made the problem worse. So good thing we did the allergy test. We got that test back. We immediately got him off of chicken and rice. We found out what other allergies he was allergic to. And we did our research. We read a lot of labels of canned foods and dry foods out there, and got him on a diet that eliminated the chicken, eliminated the rice, eliminated the other allergen, the grains that he was having some challenges with. And that story is about 8 years old now, and Buzz has not had a single seizure since that time. So it's a real simple process, and so if your pets are experiencing any sort of seizures or irritable stomach, constant vomiting, those type of things, maybe a good idea to get one of these allergy tests. Like I said, it's really simple. We draw a little bit of blood. They send it off for a comprehensive allergy test. The people that do the test should send you a detailed report, which definitely shows what they are allergic to and what they are borderline and what they're not allergic to. And from there, you can alter the diet, change things around, add some whole foods to the diet, and maybe even solve those seizures and solve those problems. So consult with your veterinarian as always, and but that may be a good route for you. So I wanted to let everybody know about that, and see if we can solve your problems if your pets are not going through that. But if they are, if you know of any pets that have had these challenges, get with your veterinarian and definitely take a look at one of these comprehensive allergy tests. For more information about seizures and food allergies, you can visit my blog, the Animal Rights blog, on Pet Life Radio. Go to PetLifeRadio.com, click on Animal Rights, and click on the blog. And you'll learn a little bit more about the seizures and food allergies, as well as a lot of other great blogs I have on there, too, just to inform you. So we're here to keep you educated if we can. So we're going to take a little bit of a break, but we're going to come right back with Joe Pans and Big Ant from Rescue Inc. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Sit. Stay. We'll be right back after a short pause. Well, four to be exact.
Buster, you're telling me my dog food products can't go on your shelves?
That's right. Didn't pass one of my Petco certified nutrition checklists. Sorry, Wayne.
Who made these checklists?
Geniuses. Very smart guys.
Well, it's good enough for most grocery stores.
Do you see cheese puffs on my shelves? Mayonnaise? Soda pop?
No.
That's because I ain't running no grocery store, Wayne. Your pets will get better nutrition, I guarantee it. Petco, where healthy pets go.
Enter the code LUCKY10, L-U-C-K-Y, the number 10, and get 10% off any order. No minimum at Petco.com.
Whether they're big, small, hairy, or whatever, you're going to need gear for your feet. And Kids Foot Locker's got all the great shoes and gear that'll get you in the game.
Go to kidsfootlocker.com and enter the code AFANW1KF to get 10% off any order of $50 or more. Or enter the code AFANW2KF to get 15% off any order of $75 or more at kidsfootlocker.com.
And cover those funky feet.
FTD's network of over 40,000 florists around the world have been creating beautiful handcrafted arrangements for 100 years. Each arrangement is delivered the same day and backed by FTD's 7-day satisfaction guarantee. For a century, people have trusted their most important occasions to the flower experts at FTD.
Since Pet Life Radio is all about puppy dogs and flowers, our listeners, that's you, can get a 20% discount on your order. Just go to florop.com and use the code LUCKIES20 at checkout. FLEUROP.com. Code word LUCKYS and the number 20.
New York, the glitz, the glamour, the exciting Mutt-tropolis, the sparkling kitty city that never sleeps. Join us each week for Pets in the City with your host, Diane West. Celebrity pet sightings, hot events, and news and reviews with the hottest movers, shakers, and tail waggers in New York. So take a bite out of the Big Apple with Pets in the City every week on demand only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Joining me now are two of the founders of Rescue Inc., Joe Pans and Big Ant. Their work is featured in the recently released book, Rescue Inc., Tough Guys on a Mission to Keep Our Animals Safe. Do fantastic work. So, Joe, Big Ant, thanks for coming on the show today.
Hey, no problem.
Great. Now, Joe, I'm sure a lot of people know about Rescue Inc. and know about some of the things you do, but just for those that don't, tell us a little bit about the Rescue Inc. organization, how you guys got started.
Well, Rescue Inc. is an in-your-face approach to animal abuse and neglect. We do whatever is necessary within the means of the law. That's what a lawyer tells us to say whenever we start off on these conversations. how a lot of people ask how we got started. We're tough guys from our own neighborhoods. You know, if somebody had a problem, if you had a problem and you had nobody to turn to, you would come to us and we would always help you out. Rescue groups are mainly comprised of women. They would come to us from time to time with all sorts of problems, whether it be somebody abusing an animal that got abusive with them, somebody destroying cat enclosures, somebody taking somebody's animal and give it back, things like that, dog fighting. We would either go with them to make sure they're okay, or if it was something nasty, you know, we would go ourselves and talk to these people and educate them the proper way to treat animals and people, you know. They listen to us, believe me.
And that's great. So it really just started off as some sort of a neighborhood project. You were the guys there that put a little, fear.
Well, they were a project. We started all our lives. A couple of us, we grew up together, you know, saving animals and doing the right thing by the animals.
Exactly. So you had the heart and compassion for the animals, plus you had the means to be able to get things done, and that's how it all came about. Yeah, so that's great. So in the book Rescue Inc., you know, it's filled. I think it's a great little read. It's filled with wonderful stories in there. It tells you a little bit about each of the people that are members of Rescue Inc. and the just wonderful short stories, and some of them positive, some of them just to get you educated and to think a little bit. How did the book come about? Is this something a project you guys wanted to put together, or were you approached by someone to say, hey, let's put these stories into writing?
You know, we were approached by everyone pretty much. Same thing with the TV show also. You know, we do what we do. You know what I mean? We help animals out and we take care of business. And people started approaching us. You know, either National Geographic, they sort of, you know, New York Times had one of the biggest articles on us. And same thing with Viking. They you know, they heard a big buzz about us and they came to us. We didn't... You know, we win guys that take care of stuff. We don't sit around just trying to, you know, get into stuff, you know?
Right. And I think it's great. I mean, the awareness that you guys have brought to both through the television show and through the book, I think has helped out quite a bit, and it continues to grow from there. You know, as I mentioned, there's all kinds of wonderful short stories in here. Joe, tell me a little bit about the story in here that is labeled for you, The Wolves Within. How did that come about? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I'm from a neighborhood that is notorious, you know, for certain things. And I found myself in a situation where I had some friends and I was lured to a place and, you know, I was set up. Now, my thing is, you know, my friends are very, very serious people. You know, I didn't know who to turn to or what to do. I wound up getting shot 5 times. I couldn't go to the hospital because that's the next logical place, you know, they would acquire me. I really didn't know what was going on, so I didn't know who to trust. I had to find a safe place to go, so I had this place, and nobody really knew about it. I had my dog, Blackjack. It's a 100 and a big, very big, big Rottweiler, let's just say that. With he liked, you know, he loved me, and I knew he was going to watch out for me. And the one thing I knew is if anybody was coming for me, that dog was going to do everything in his power to defend me because he loved me. And he would know before I would that anybody came to that door. So it doesn't matter who comes through that door, the President of the United States or whoever it may be. If they're coming to do harm to me, that dog is going to defend me. And you want to know something? I learned a very valuable lesson that night. People, it's very difficult to tell what somebody's going to do from one minute to the next. You know, they could be a best friend, they could be a volunteer or whatever, and then turn around in the next minute and do a 180 turn. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, 100% on my side, period. And that night, I didn't get too much sleep. And you want to know something? Neither did the dog. You know, and he watched over me, and I appreciate that. And it made me realize that, you know, these animals, you know, depend on us, but we also, in times of need, depend on them.
Absolutely. You know, and I think that you would agree they know instinctually a lot to what they should be doing, too. They know their roles and what they need to be doing without us even telling them.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, I think it's always fascinating. You know, it's I talk to different people, dog trainers, et cetera, and you can train a dog, you know, through commands, through certain things that you say and certain things that you do. But what it really comes down to is that connection that they have with you, that heart connection where you don't have to say a word. They know what to do, when to do it. And they're always, like you said, they're always there. There's no 180 degree on a dog or an animal.
Well, you're 100% correct, yeah. Because when I came home that night, you know, I was very, very quiet. I was in a lot of pain, and I went from room to room. I made sure, you know, all the lights were off and everything like that. I didn't make any noise. And you know what I noticed? I noticed this dog was shadowing me very, very, very quiet as I was, you know, and then I sat down in my chair, and, you know, I'm sitting there very, very quiet, and all he did was sit there right next to me, and we were both staring at the door waiting.
Yeah, there to protect you, there to probably give you a lot of healing and comfort as well.
Correct.
It's all about trust. Once the animal knows that the trust is there, that's it. He's going to defend you with all he's got, you know, and that's the way the world works. It works on trust. You know, you got a friend you can trust, you're going to help your friend out with all you've got. And it's the same way with animals. If they trust you, you're in.
That's right. Great lessons we learned from them, for sure. Now, Big Ann, I know you guys, with a lot of this, the work that you do is domestic work. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of dogs and cats, but there's a wonderful story in here about Bacon's Revenge. Tell us a little bit about that and the animal that's involved there.
Well, you know, that case, there was a lady who was actually hoarding pigs. She had a whole bunch of pigs in the yard, and they just started multiplying, and then they called us. So, you know, we went in there and... we had door crates. We put these pigs, the little piglets, in the door crates, and then the big ones, we had to get giant crates. And they were about like 500 pounds each, those pigs. You know, and let me tell you something. They fight. They think they're worse than a dog because they just come right at you and they don't give a crap about anything. So they're very, very rough. And, you know, that day, that one big lesson we learned that day is definitely pigs fight.
Exactly. And this wasn't in the Midwest somewhere or out in farm country either, was it?
No, this was in New York. This was Long Island, New York. You know, there's a lot of cases that we've been on that we, you know, that people say, oh, yeah, I heard that you guys were in this case. Where was that? We tell them, oh, you know, it was Brooklyn. They're like, oh, my God. You know what I mean? It happens right in everybody's neighborhood. It doesn't matter if you're in a poor, rich, bad, good neighborhood. Something's always going down.
Yeah, there is. And I think the hoarding situations, you know, I'm sure you run into this. There are some people that have great intentions and they want to help out. And the next thing you know, it's just gotten totally out of control.
Yeah. Well, you know, if people want to help out, to become a rescue, it's very, very hard. You know, you can't just get an animal out of a situation and say, yeah, I can give it to somebody else and say, I rescued it. That's not the way it works. Okay. You know, the way your rescue works is you get the animal out of the bad situation, okay, and then you get them all vetted, healthy, and then you get them adopted out to our home, and then when that animal is safe in somebody's home, that's a rescue.
There you go. Good point. Very well taken. All right. Well, guys, we're getting ready to come to a break here, so just hang on tight. We're going to come back with Joe Pans and Big Ant from Rescue Inc. right after these messages from our sponsors. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Sit. Stay. We'll be right back after a short pause. Well, four to be exact.
Love your pets but wish their medications were a lot less expensive? They are at 1-800-PetMeds. You'll not only save on flea and heartworm medications, but on prescriptions for arthritis, incontinence, thyroid, and more. And you get fast service, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, our licensed pharmacists ensure accuracy, monitor drug interaction, and more. See why over 5 million people have trusted their pet's health to 1-800-PetMeds, America's largest pet pharmacy. Call now or order online.
Go to PetMeds.com/Lucky, L-U-C-K-Y, to get 10% off any order and free shipping on orders of $39 or more at PetMeds.com.
How would you like your business to reach out and invite in our audience? We have a brand new trademark concept called InfoSeeds. InfoSeeds are short 20-second seeds of information about your place of business, practice, or service. Is the best, most cost-effective way to invite us in. We only have a limited number of slots left. For more information, visit the website.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Click on sponsorship information. There you can listen to a sample of InfoSeed. Remember, only a limited number of opportunities are available.
At Petco, we really love pets. There isn't anything we won't do to make sure they're getting the best products and the best care. So when you ask us a question like,
so how do you feel about cat condos?
We can say from experience,
feels like home for her.
Enter the code LUCKY10, L-U-C-K-Y, the number 10, and get 10% off any order. No minimum at Petco.com.
That's it. You're madder than a junkyard dog, and you're not going to take it anymore. Your feathers are ruffled, your dander is up, and you've got a definite bone to pick. Join us each week on Pet Peeves, the show that lets you dig through the dirt and unleash your passion for pets. Your host, pet expert and award-winning author, Amy Shojai, will talk about what makes you howl and what hisses you off. Pet Peeves, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets on Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com. All right, welcome back. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. This is your host, Tim Link. And we're here with Joe Pans and Big Ant from Rescue Inc. Guys, we really appreciate you coming on the show today. One of the things I want to talk to you about is I know a lot of cases from reading from the book that did involve pit bull type of situations. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about the pit bull as a breed and really the bad rap that they've been given, because we know that they're great, great dogs, and they're great with the family and great with people. But tell us a little bit about your experience, especially the positive experiences you've had with that breed or a similar breed.
Well, you know, a lot of people look at pit bulls because they're strong and they're energetic and they have this determination and drive, you know, and those are really good qualities in people. And I don't understand why it doesn't transcend to these animals. People judge a book by its cover. We understand what pit bulls go through because we get the same rap. When people look at us, they're like, look at these guys, the big guys, they're all coming together. Look, you know, they get nervous when they look at us. But when they find out what we're there for, you know, you can see that the expression change on their face and they're happy. The same thing with the pit bulls. To love a pit bull is to own a pit bull. You know, only a pit bull owner would understand the love that one of these dogs has for them. The problem with pit bulls is they're so eager to please the owner, you know. When a dog is trained to do something bad, you know, they're going to do something bad. It's not the pit bull's fault for, you know, some of the things that they're blamed for. They're great animals. Helen Keller had a pit bull. Roosevelt, the Little Rascals, Petey was a pit bull. You know, they just have a very, very bad rap. You can't blame the breed for the beat, you know what I'm saying? And it's just a very, very bad rap that they get. You know, we've come across many, many situations where dogs that we pulled out of fighting rings that were bait dogs, and they're fantastic. Rebel is a bait dog, and this dog was tortured beyond belief, and you can read about him in the book. They called him Ribbons because his ears were so tattered that they reminded people of Ribbons, so we got the name Ribbons. We nursed him back to health, and we kept him as our mascot, and he's not right now living on a sanctuary upstate. The dog is such a gentle, gentle dog. It's incredible the resilience these dogs have, that they could go through so much hardship and turn around and still wag their tail and still be wonderful pets.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I agree with you wholeheartedly. I've always had positive experiences with them. I think it's a great breed. And, you know, I think that message needs to continue to get out there, that it's not, like you said, it's not the breed itself. It's the people that are around it. And it's just like with humans. If we're around good people, we teach them good things. We teach our children good things. They're more likely to turn out to be great kids and great people.
Well, it's funny you should say that because, you know, we go to school. We have school programs. And we go to these schools. And we, you know, we teach these kids when they're young. We get them when they're young to just do the right thing by an animal. Teach the animal right. You know what I mean? And you know what? They look at us, they're like, wow, these guys are tough. We tell them, yeah, you can be tough, you can be cool, and you can still do the right thing, especially by the animals.
Absolutely. Good point. Good work. You know, getting everybody familiar, getting the kids familiar at a very early age is extremely important. Now, you know, we're seeing a lot more of states coming out and doing some breed-specific legislation. We talked about the pit bull, but just in general state legislation. What do you think about that? Do you think it's solving the problem? Is it taking this right step forward, not only with breed-specific legislation, but just some of the states on how they're handling the animal laws?
You know what it is? Breed-specific legislation does not work. You know, a lot of times the way they write these bills is it's pit bull or pit bull like dog. You know, if you turned around and the people that are deciding whether your pit dog is a pit bull or a pit bull like dog, a lot of time is an uneducated person. I could turn around and put, you know, five pictures of dogs up there and have a lot of these people that are supposed to be taking your dog for one race or another, and they probably wouldn't even be able to tell a Presa Canario, a Conocorso, or a regular, you know, boxer against a pit bull. They wouldn't be able to pick up the pit bull, you know. And a lot of times they turn around and say, wow, you know, these dogs are the most likely to bite. They're not. You know what I mean? They're just, mm-hmm. A lot of people are embarrassed to say they got bit by a Chihuahua or they got bit by, you know, a Labrador. You know what I mean? So they'll turn around and say, oh, it was a pit bull, you know, and they don't even know what a pit bull is. So we have to turn around and we have to do more and more research to turn around and tell them that, you know, this definitely, you know, is not going to work, because you can't lump a whole breed or a whole nationality or a whole religion. You can't hold everybody accountable for the acts of one person due to the fact that they were brought up badly, or, you know, they were put in a situation that, you know, turned out, you know, badly because it was meant to be that way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and that's a great point. I mean, I've worked with a lot of dogs, a lot of, you know, tons of different animals, and I've been bitten one time when I was a teenager by a Shih Tzu. And it was totally my fault. I moved too quickly and went to the opposite direction from where he was. It startled him, and he bit me a little bit on the leg. And it was more like, what in the world is going on here? But never buy a pit bull or any other, you know, these dogs that they target in some of these breed-specific legislations that are coming out. Now, guys, I don't know if you know this or not, but I live in the Atlanta, Georgia area, and I've been involved in rescue quite some time. I've former president of a no-kill shelter here in the northern Atlanta area. And we experienced several years back the Michael Vick case. We know the dog fighting case with Michael Vick and the terrible things that happened during that case. But I know at least here in Georgia, we saw some positive signs, some steps forward by our legislation about passing some anti-dog fighting laws. And actually, they started looking into things like cockfighting and some of the other things, which, you know, I view as a terrible situation, but at least some positive had come out of that. What do you think about the type of legislation that's coming about? Does it have a significant impact, a positive impact, maybe in the New York area where you guys are from? What legislation you're seeing that's moving in the right direction?
Well, they're working on tethering laws right now. There's a lot of other different laws that they're trying to bring about, but you have to be very careful, because once they start imposing these laws, you have to make sure they're geared to the people, not to the animals. If somebody puts an animal in harm's way, or puts an animal in a situation that's going to make an animal react in a non-positive way, the person is the one that should be held accountable. We have to make sure that people are held accountable for the actions that they put these animals in. You know what I mean? The situations they put these animals in. If we turned it around and made it that way, you would see a lot less animal problems. If we turn around and said, okay, if you do this and this animal does that, you're going to have the problem. If you have an animal that you can't put in a certain situation and you don't care, through not caring at all or through just a person that just doesn't know what they're doing, and you put other people or other animals in harm's way, you should be held accountable for. You have to assert the blame on the people and the specific situations they put the animal in. You have to hold the people accountable.
Yeah, that's a good point. You can't just come in and if the dog bit someone, you take the dog away. That doesn't solve the problem. You have to actually go to the owners of the animals and make them aware and make them solve the, you know, make sure they're not putting those animals in those situations.
Yes, some animals get startled. Some animals, there's a lot of different reasons. A lot of animals are hurt. And somebody might try to you know, help the animal or run over and might startle an animal. If you have an animal that's aggressive, well, you shouldn't put them in certain situations. You should know your animal. And if they need to be taken out of that situation, or you shouldn't bring your animals around other dogs, or, you know, learn your animal's triggers, you have to know your animal and what your animal's limitations are. You shouldn't blame. You can't set somebody up to fail and then blame them for failing.
Good point. Good way to look at it. That's great. Now, I know the whole Rescue Inc. team continues to focus on saving animals from neglect and abuse and educating people on how better to take care of their pets. If you had one thing to tell the listeners about what they can do to help out and make sure that they're taking care of their animals, what would you tell them?
Well, I mean, to help animals out, you know, anybody could pitch in. Just as long as anybody sees something that's going on and they say something and do something about it, they're helping an animal right there, okay, to get an animal out of a bad situation. So, you know, abusers or losers, that's our biggest motto. That's where we stand. We have a zero tolerance against animal abuse. But if you want to help us fight against animal abuse, if you see something, say something. You help an animal out, and you'll feel better about yourself.
Good point. Don't turn a blind eye. Do something to help out.
Sure.
Yeah, that's great, guys. Well, listen, we're coming to the end of the show, but I want to let listeners know that you can find out more about Joe Pans and Big Ant and the rest of the Rescue Inc. team by going to the website, go to rescueinc.org. animalrights.org and check out all the great work the entire team does on behalf of the animals. You can find out more about the Rescue Inc. organization, the book Rescue Inc., Tough Guys on a Mission to Keep Our Animals Safe, as well as what you can do to help out and to chip in. You guys have a great foundation, I see also.
Yes, we do.
So check it all out. Everybody go to rescueinc.org, or you can go to the Animal Rights tab on Pet Life Radio, petliferadio.com, and that will link back over to the Rescue Inc. group as well. So, Joe, Big Ant, I thank you guys for coming on board. Continue
thank
the great
you.
Work.
Thank you.
We appreciate everything you guys are doing, and we look forward to keeping up with you down the road.
Thank you.
All right, man. All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, we're coming up to the end of the show today. So I want to thank the listeners for listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Also want to thank Joe Pants and Big Ant from Rescue Inc. for being on my show today. It was great, great work that they do. And we appreciate everything that they do for the animals. And also thanks to our sponsors and producers for putting on this show today. Without them, it wouldn't be possible. So thanks, everybody, for helping me put out the best show I possibly can. To find out more about me, Tim Link, and our other guests that I have interviewed on Animal Rights, go to the Animal Rights Show tab on Pet Life Radio. That's petliferadio.com. Click on Animal Rights, and you can look at all the other recordings from all the other interviews we've done. We've got some fabulous ones there and great ones coming out, too. So stay tuned to us. While you're there, be sure to check out all the other hosts and shows on Pet Life Radio, too. If you have any questions, comments, ideas for the show, or I just want to tell me how great of a job that I'm doing, I'll take those emails as well. You can email me at tim@petliferadio.com. That's tim@petliferadio.com. And I'll do my best to answer your questions, entertain your comments, entertain any ideas for shows or people you'd like to have on the show. We'll do our best to get them on and talk to them about what's happening in their life and the books that they have out. So until next time, write a great story about the animals in your life, share it in a blog, article, or in a book, and who knows? You may be the next guest on Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Have a great day.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.